The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to a new episode of Gamertag Radio. Thank God it's me hosting. It's Paris, and I'm here with Danny.
What's going on, man? Everything is good, man. Here, I'm excited for this episode. Man, we're going to be talking about Assassin's Creed Shadows later on, and I know you got some cool stuff to talk about. NVIDIA too.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, let's just kick off the show and talk about that. So want to remind everybody, go to GamertagRadio.com, check out our older episodes. Obviously, find us on YouTube. You can find us on social media, all these great places. We're always talking about video games.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
We're going to open the show with a sponsored segment by NVIDIA. So again, want to thank NVIDIA for the opportunity to check out Half-Life 2. RTX. Got the chance to play it a little bit early. You're watching this right now or listening to this. This is at the embargo date. But I got hands on, been able to play around with it for the past few days. So again, want to thank NVIDIA for the opportunity to be able to play Half-Life 2 RTX. And kind of want to talk about it a little bit because this is a demo and I got access to Ravenholm and I also got access to Nova Prospect, which is two areas in the original Half-Life 2. If you've had a chance to play it, highly suggest that you do. But what's special about this is I was playing on an RTX 5090 GPU, and this remaster of Half-Life 2, this Half-Life 2 RTX, and I hope I am saying the studio name correctly. I don't want to butcher it, but it is Orbifold Studios. They did the remaster here for Half-Life 2 RTX, and they did a fantastic job because they took full advantage of everything that NVIDIA RTX brings to the table as far as lighting and everything goes. So this is using DLSS4. This is using multi-frame generation. This is also using ray reconstruction along with full ray tracing, aka path tracing, which is taking advantage of RTX direct illumination, RTX neural radiance cache, NVIDIA RTX Voltrometrics, and NVIDIA RTX Skin. And bundling this all together, being able to play this first foremost, playing this at 4K with DLSS4 multi-frame generation enabled. I mean, I was averaging 270 plus frames per second while I was playing this in Half-Life 2 RTX. And I mean, the lighting in this with path tracing enabled, it's phenomenal. Like, one thing that I would suggest anyone can do is play this demo and then go back and play the original Half-Life 2. Like, what we remember it being back in the day to what it is now, it's like night and day. So just the lighting, like the zombies, you set them on fire, it would just, like in Ravenholm, it just illuminates the entire area that you're in with lighting. Just some of the reflections and the shadows that you'll see off in the background are fantastic in this. And all of this is being powered by obviously I'm on an RTX 5090 GPU, but just the full path tracing and just all the effects that they're able to bring in this remaster. So I did reach out to try and get an interview with Orbifold Studio. So hopefully we'll get that here in the future to be able to check out more of this and talk to them about the process of them bringing Half-Life 2 RTX to life, because this just did a little bit of demo I played. I want to go play Half-Life 2 all over again, because that's just how good it looks. And they've done a fantastic job with this. So again, I suggest anyone go on Steam. You need to own the original Half-Life 2. But if you own Half-Life 2, go grab this demo on Steam. Check it out for yourself. It's fantastic. So Danny, any questions for me?
Yes, I do have a question. And this is goes back to when the first time I experienced this, where, you know, I'm a new guy anyways when it comes to like gaming PC. But this is when we also had an opportunity to play Portal RTX, right? The difference on that. So is it similar to that? Because that was a very huge difference on that.
Yeah, yeah. That I'm glad you brought that up, because this is very similar to that experience when we did Portal RTX. And again, just the night and day difference of what RTX and path tracing is bringing to the table, just with lighting. It just completely transforms the game from a graphical standpoint. And that's another thing going in there, like especially when I was in Ravenholm, and I was just kind of checking out just some of the minor details that are in there. There's such a great attention to detail with, like, I don't know, even like a freaking paint can, just all of it. You know, they're going into all these minor details that you would just completely miss if you're just running through the game. But if you take your time and check out some of the stuff, you can see the quality that they're bringing to this remaster of Half-Life 2, which, again, like I highly suggest. Go back and play the first Half-Life 2 when you play this, and you're going to be like, whoa, it's like a completely different game. That's just how good it looks.
So, you know, for those that have the 40 series, that doesn't have the 50 series, can they still experience this? Because I know people probably
can
ask that.
You can, but obviously you're not getting the full multi-frame generation, because, again, this is also using the Transformer model as well, which you can utilize through the NVIDIA app if you want to go play that, because that was the other cool thing about this demo is you can go in, I believe you're hitting Alt X. You can go in at any point and tinker with the settings and change just some of the features that you're taking advantage of with DLSS and, you know, all these advanced features that are coming with this remaster. So if you have a 40 series card, you can still play it, obviously, but you're not going to get the high frames that you're going to get from the full frame regeneration that you're going to get, you know, in an RTX 5000 series card, you know, a 5090 or a 5080, but it is playable. So if you have a 4080 or a 4090, you can still go in and play it. Now, have I done it myself? No, obviously, okay. But you can take advantage of it as far as I know. But I will say again, for the full effect of this, to truly see what they're trying to pull off with this Half-Life 2 RTX, you need a 50 series card. You need a 5080 or a 5090, because you'll take full advantage of the full multi-frame generation.
Yeah, I mean, if there's any opportunity to see a game like this from, you know, like similar to like Half-Life to the original and then turn it into like RTX, what game you would like to see so at least you could compare the two, you know, now that you have the 50 series?
And I already know what game I want them to also go back and do. I want them to go and do Portal 2. I want to see that.
That's a good one, Portal 2.
Yeah,
I want to see Portal 2. That's a really, really good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I mean, that's pretty dope, man, that they managed to do that. I think people need to experience this, because I remember playing Portal for the first time. It's a huge difference, man. And I love Portal. Portal's like one of my favorite games of all time. It was up there too. But seeing the difference that you could play the whole game in RTX, like the graphics, everything is just completely so different than the original. It's pretty cool to see. And I'm glad that NVIDIA is working with all the developers to take advantage of this and work on future projects on this. You know, it's really, really cool to see that, man.
Yeah, I'm going back and I'm reading just to make sure I'm not talking out of my butt about the 4000 series cards. I'm not seeing anything that says that you can't, but this was built and designed to take full advantage of DLSS4 and the 5000 series cards that come out. So I want to be crystal clear on that. So don't come yelling at me if you pull out your 4080 and I'm like, I don't see no difference. I'm assuming that you can play this on a 4000 series card, but okay. This was made for the 50 series, for the 5000 series cards coming from NVIDIA, because they are the ones that take NVIDIA Reflex for low latency, just everything that comes with DLSS4. That's what this demo was designed for. So again, I'm excited for when the full release comes out, because I'm definitely going to replay through Half-Life 2. But going back to something you were saying before, asking what other games, obviously Cyberpunk 2077 is a big standout with this, taking advantage of path tracing and all of that. to me, that is going to be the future of visual fidelity for gaming, is path tracing, the full ray tracing, because just of all the different effects that you're going to be able to do with lighting and shadows in these games. That's where I see the next generation of this going. So obviously, 4000 series cars like we're talking about can already do it. We know the 5000 series are doing it with DLSS4, and we're going to see continued advancements of that, you know, beyond this as we move forward, you know, in the rest of the decade. But yeah, it's an exciting glimpse into what visual fidelity in gaming is going to be. And then even from a performance standpoint, from the frames per second. And I get it. There's a lot of controversy about, you know, the AI rendering that's happening with the multi-frame generation, fake frames. These are a lot of the words that you hear. I will just simply say this for me. I'm not Digital Foundry, so I don't have a freaking microscope when I'm looking at everything that I'm playing. It looked good to me. That's all I know. It looked good to me in 4K when I'm playing it. And I think ultimately that's the point of this. When you're playing these games, are you having fun? Is it a visual showcase while you're doing it? And I think it does it pretty well. I really do.
Yeah. Well, anything else, Byrus, before we go to the review of Assassin's Creed Shadows?
No. Again, I do want to thank NVIDIA for the opportunity to be able to get early hands-on with Half-Life 2 RTX. Like I said, I think they did an amazing job with this remaster. I look forward to everyone else getting their hands on it and checking out for themselves. And can't wait for the next thing to come along, because I'm sure there's going to be something else that's just going to blow our minds, being able to use all this advanced tech coming from NVIDIA with path tracing and obviously taking advantage of DLSS4.
Yeah, no, thanks to NVIDIA for giving us the opportunity. And also, at the beginning of the Assassin's Creed Shadows review, I also talk about my experience playing this a lot of hours through the GeForce Now experience. Wow, bro.
You know what? And I could talk about that. I will say, as we transition, I'm not on the full review here for Assassin's Creed Shadows, but I also got to take advantage of playing it early on GeForce Now. It's amazing where that tech has gone. How from where it started a few years ago to where it is today, because you're essentially, I think right now it's utilizing like an RTX 4080 GPU in the cloud with all the PC settings, like everything that you can think of, you're able to cloud stream that now. I've said it multiple times and I will say it again. It is the best cloud gaming app service, however you want to say it, on the market today. It is the standard now for cloud gaming is NVIDIA GeForce Now, because they've done a fantastic job with it. They really have.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, man. And one thing I did mention, I'll mention again over here before I play the actual audio, is that I started playing it on GeForce Now, and I was switching from my PC to the TV and just playing like that, bro, smooth. For the computer, it was cool because I could also play ultra widescreen, not fully, but it's up to like really close enough. Now I'm like, okay, this is really, really good. And then when I go to the living room, I'm like, all right, let me continue the game. Let me switch to the TV. Smooth process. And it looks fantastic on TV. It looks really, really good, man. So, yeah, I have over 30 hours now with Assassin's Creed Shadows. And I'll talk about it now more with Khalif in a few minutes. But, yeah, it's been a smooth process. No bugs, no issues. It's just been great for me.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and you're right. I think this is the best cloud gaming service that I've ever seen.
To me, it shows the future of where this tech can be. I mean, is it perfect today? Obviously not. We know that. It's not going to today replace the way that we primarily play games. I mean, we've obviously said that many times over the past few years, but it gives a glimpse into the future of the potential of what cloud gaming could be. And like I said, I think NVIDIA GeForce Now is leading the way in that aspect.
Yeah, and I took advantage of superpowers. I went to the settings and I put ultra everything. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Me too.
I was like,
me
perfect.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to go now to our review of Assassin's Creed Shadows. I just want to say thank you to NVIDIA for the opportunity. And yeah, we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
I want to talk about Atomfall. Now, I played Atomfall recently through a preview event. Paris played this back in, I think it was like sometime last year. It was during a Xbox Gamescom event. So it's been a while. It's been a while. Do you remember anything from, from that event? It's been so long.
Yeah. We're at Gamescom LA with the Xbox event. I played it there briefly, and I just remember really enjoying it, going, oh, man, I got to put this on my radar. This is going to be something that's fun. I mean, it's more of a survival game. I know a lot of people have tried to compare it to Fallout, like Fallout and, you know, in the UK or something like that. Mm-hmm. But from what I remember, and again, it's been a few months now, I enjoyed the gameplay style. I enjoyed the setting, the world of what they were creating. And I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the preview.
Yeah, this guy, I got the vibe of like Stalker 2 vibes.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I'm gonna keep it real. In the beginning, when I got to play this back in September for the Gamescom event, I wasn't really feeling it. I don't, maybe it was just an environment that was surrounded with a lot of people. It was like a lot of things happening. People would come up to me, talk to me while I was playing, you know. So, but this time, this was a hands-on event from home, digital event where I could just play through the cloud and everything, and I recorded some footage on me playing it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like, I think when you take your time and not rushing, because I think that's the mistake of a lot of people, and I made that mistake too playing Stalker 2, is rushing throughout the whole area. This one, you have to explore, take your time. There's a lot of things you could discover, going to like different places, like houses, there's caves, there's like things you could do in there. But I feel like it was very open and I was free to do whatever I want in the game, you know? So did you manage to do that too at that time when you got to play?
I don't remember. You remember? Too many questions.
It's all good. It's all good.
I mean, I remember just a little bit of discovery in it, right? But again, we only, you know, only got hands on for like 45 minutes or an hour, mm-hmm. or whatever it was. But I was very curious to see more of that world. So I guess that's the question I'll throw back at you in the preview. Is this like an open world, or is this like Avowed where it's like zones, or how does the overworld
in the game felt, look? Okay, now that part I don't know, because I was in a very small area. So I don't know how big the world is. I can't answer that question. But I do remember walking around and having that freedom. I will talk to like random people that will be like around the area, and I'll go to like certain places. But I'll tell you this, I did find the game extremely hard. I found it hard back in Gamescom event and also during this one. But this time I was a lot smarter, because I think the first time I had to play it, I didn't have that much ammo. The biggest mistake I think, and this one I remember from the Gamescom event, I had a gun. And I went to like an area where I thought it was just me talking to people. No, they mm-hmm. came and attacked, and I tried to shoot them, and I had no ammo. So that was the mistake that I did last time. This time, I took my time to find ammo, and now, you know, I also had a weapon. I think it was like some type of wood weapon or something. I can't remember. But that helped me to attack enemies a lot easier. You know, the last time, I think I felt like I rushed it too fast, you know? So, and I think I made the same mistake with Stalker 2 also. I think that's why I was having a hard time, because I'm so used to that fast-paced type of games where you get your weapon, go and attack, move on, you know, that type of thing. So, and similar to like Call of Duty and all that, you know, I think people are going to enjoy this if you like that type of game, like, you know, taking your time and the difficulty. I know a lot of people love that from Stalker 2, and I think they're going to like this also from Adam Paul. But for those who know Rebellion, have you played their past games, Rebellion games?
What's some of their past games?
I'm trying to remember. Let me see, Rebellion. Well, I'll edit this.
I mean, because the name is definitely familiar, so I guarantee I've played something. I can't think of anything top of my head that I've played.
Snapper Elite. I remember that's a big one.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Snapper Elite is a big one. I'm not going to read every single one. I remember Zombie Army. I played that. I think Snapper Elite is the biggest one, and Zombie Army. Those are the two, like, the biggest ones from Rebellion. And the other ones is just, you know, that's a classic, Aliens versus Predator back in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Snapper Elite is the one that they're known for the most. And that one is also a similar game where, again, you take your time. It's not, you know, a rush type thing, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, like, what was it that stood out to you, Paris? Like, back when you first heard about the game, saw the trailer, What was it that stood out to you? For no, I'm serious. Like the trailer, a trailer, regular trailer.
Oh, like I said before. I mean, it reminded me of Fallout, obviously in the name Adam Fall. But to your point, once you actually get to play it, it's more Stalker than it is Fallout as far as that goes. But the world looks great. I love survival type games where, you know, ammo resources are scarce. You got to use a little bit of strategy, you know, in your approach to the different encounters, stuff like that. So. Yeah, I mean, again, just in my limited hands-on time, it definitely intrigued me enough that I for sure put it on my radar and wanted to know more about it. So, I mean, here we are. Obviously, it's about to come out.
And this is also coming to Xbox Game Pass day one. I think that's going to be a big hit where people are going to actually try it out once it comes out. And the official date is very, very soon. In a couple of weeks, actually, it's coming out.
I believe the 27th is the launch date, March 27th.
Yep, March 27th. You're right. Right. I mean, that's the right time because there's nothing really happening during that time when it comes to like game releases. But I think that's a good time. I think it helped Stalker 2 also to get the word out also when that game came out. There was nothing really out at that time, you know? So
right.
I think it's going to be successful for the company and everybody. So yeah, make sure to check it out. I think I have some footage here that I'm going to show. You guys should check it out. Let me know what you think. Anything else, Paris, about Adam Fall before we wrap it up?
Yeah, like I said before, man, I'm very excited to get hands on with it. I was impressed with what the little bit I did play some months back. And yeah, man, looking forward to that launch. And to your point, big deal that is day one on Game Pass. Definitely going to open it up to a wider audience to be able to go check it out.
Yeah. All right. But thanks to Rebellion for inviting me. And also a shout out to Tinsley PR for giving us the opportunity to play the game early.
This is Gamertag Radio.
Joining me here, the best cooker in town, we have Khalif Adams from Spawn On Me. What's up, Ka?
Oh my God, I'm so happy to be here with you. Happy to be rocking again on GTR with, of course, Hall of Famer in the podcasting space, Danny Pena. And really happy that Paris isn't here. This makes this even better.
Right? It feels fresh. It feels quiet.
Oh,
it feels safe. It feels very safe.
Cameras work and then that all blurry and stuff. Like, it's
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a lot of like dissing each other. It's just going to be. Talking about games, you know, we're nice,
you
people,
know, no anger on this podcast. It's gonna be great.
Anger. Thank you, man. So for this episode, we're gonna be talking about Assassin's Creed Shadows. Now there's gonna be people asking, you know, how long we've been playing the game. A lot of people have different hours. It's the game is very long. I'm just throwing it out there. It's very, very long. I am not 100% yet. I'm like not completely done. I think I only have from like the main story two enemies left. There's one that's about to like I'm about to finish that one, and then it's only gonna be one and that's it. And after that, that's like I have like a lot of side quests available that I haven't completed yet. But it's addicting. I don't know what it is. Like I just been playing a lot of stuff from my side, but I started playing through NVIDIA GeForce Now. I will definitely talk about my experience on that in a few minutes. But and then I have also a code from Ubisoft through Ubisoft Connect. So I've been playing it through there too now. Now for you, Ka, are you playing it on PC, console? Did you also start it early playing GeForce Now or what?
Actually, I didn't play it on GeForce Now, even though they did give us the option. Shout out to NVIDIA for having that as an option for us to be able to check out the game earlier. But I wanted to wait to see how it was going to run, not only on my PC, but on my PlayStation 5 Pro. So I've been playing on PS5 Pro and on PC. And it's been great because Ubisoft Connect has let me been able to basically play on both systems simultaneously with one kind of cloud save so I can look at it on my big wide screen when I'm in the studio, and then when I want to go play on the couch, I can still play it there with none of the progress loss. So that's been really, really fun to be able to do it on both, and they look fantastic on both.
That's good. Now, my other question is, you know, there's been a while where I really enjoyed playing Assassin's Creed, then I took a break, then I came back. I started playing it a lot more during Origins, Odyssey. I felt like those games were really fun, but I feel like there was a lot of grinding in that one.
Yeah.
Like it was just too much. And I also felt overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that you have to do in that game. I didn't get that vibe with this one. Like, it's, don't get me wrong, this game is big. It's huge. It's a lot of things you do in this game. But I don't feel overwhelmed of like, okay, I have to like grind to reach a certain level in order for me to continue. Because here's the thing, for me, I could still do my side quests. I could do a bunch of other stuff and not concentrate on the main campaign yet. You know, mm-hmm. And once I feel like, okay, now I could go to that area, I could do that. I feel like it's like a lot easier and less grinding compared to those older games.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, my last Assassin's Creed game was Valhalla. And that game, I loved that game, but it was very, very grindy in the way that it would take you off the main path to go do other stuff so that you could get gear that you could be able to kind of be in those fights in a competent way. Which okay, but you can see they refine that process a lot in Shadows. Like in Shadows, there is a level of, you know, leveling up gear and weapons and things like that, but it doesn't feel like I have to go into spaces ahead of time or kind of grind in the spaces that are at my level to be able to then get the gear to be able to go to other spaces. Like, yes, levels are, you know, dispersed around the map where, you know, I'm currently probably at like a level 20 or 21 character. And there are levels that are much higher than that around the map. But I understand that, like, I can go to certain spaces that are a little bit above my level and still be able to fight things and kill those things without feeling like I'm going to instantly die. So that's been really, really good. And then we talked a little bit about some of the side content, which we'll dig into, I'm sure, a little bit more. But like, those are also places where you can kind of grind up your level a little bit to get more things. So you'll be able to be even a little bit over leveled for the places that you want to go. So those parts are really good.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too, like, and this is no spoilers, but I know you will play both characters in the beginning. It's more like a tutorial. You get to see a little sneak peek about their story. It's like very, very short. But after that, you start with Naoi.
Yep, Naoi.
Naoi. You start with her, and then later you get Yasuke later in the game. Now, when I say later, it depends. It all depends on you. Because like for me, it took me maybe like 10 hours or so.
Yeah.
Because not only I was playing with her character, but I was doing a lot of side stuff that I was like, wait a minute, how can I unlock this guy? You know, like it took me a while to figure that out because I wasn't really paying attention, you know. But I think everybody is going to have a different time when it comes to trying to unlock him in the game. Was that the same for you, Kyle?
Yeah, it was pretty close to that around timing in terms of like around 10 to 12 hours or so. I think we did a lot of side questing too, I think, when we talked about the way we played the game. And I think I really like the way that the game kind of rolls that out. I from previews and stuff that we had seen before, it kind of came across that like as soon as you start the game, you'll be able to pick between the two and kind of start their story path. But I really like the fact that they kind of start you off with Naoi, who is, you know, this Japanese samurai. There's a lot of conversations that go along that show you motivation for her story. And it's a good chunk of gameplay before you get to Yasuke. And that really fleshes out her character, her motivations. And then when you kind of get to Yasuke's part, you start another version of that through his lineage and through his story, which, again, like the way that they have mapped this out and kind of laid out campaign is just really smart in terms of getting you adjusted to what the usual kind of Assassin's Creed very stealthy gameplay is, and then moving into kind of more bruiser style stuff with Yasuke later on.
Yeah, I just love that the more you play, because this mission is also solo missions just on them, right? Mm-hmm. Like about that character. The more you do that, the more you unlock their story, you get to understand more about them as a person, their history and everything. And it's really, really cool to do that. Plus, there's other people that you're going to get to meet in the game where you also have a connection, a story between you two, and you get to learn more on that too. So I really enjoy the story. Like, I've been having a good time learning more about the characters, learning more about the area. And I just love the music, the vibe. You know, like for me, I started playing it on through NVIDIA GeForce Now, and I'm not gonna lie, I was like, oh, it's cloud gaming. How's that going to work, right? And honestly, it looked pretty good. Like, I was playing it on my PC, on my ultra-wide screen. It's not fully ultra-wide, but it's good enough. And then I will switch, and I'll play it on my TV, on my Samsung TV. Just connect my controller to the app, to the TV. And, bro, I was playing it. It felt like I was just playing straight from the console. I was doing that for hours. I think the majority of the time, I was playing through GeForce Now. And then when I got the code, like 2 weeks later or something like that, I started playing on my PC. But I still switch. Like, sometimes I don't feel like playing on my computer. I'll still play on my TV.
Yeah.
Flawless. It's still, I can still continue the game. No issues at all. There was only one bug that I just experienced maybe a couple of days ago, and it was through the PC, where, and this is like one of those side quests. I think I had to meet up with a dog. There was like a dog that got hurt, and he was taking me to his owner or something like that. And had an option to do something. Now I'm not gonna say what it is, that the owner escaped and disappeared, and I don't know what to do. Like, I feel like it's like the game got stuck in that mission for that quest. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? It's not the main story. I could continue to do something else. And I kept it moving. So I'm going to try to see. I'm going to go back to that quest to see if I could finish it. But that was the only bug that I experienced in the whole game. The game so far has been flawless. Like, zero bugs, in my opinion. Has it been the same for you?
I've had no bugs at all. Like, it's been flawless from start to where I'm at now. I've had, because usually there are weird things that happen. Like, you know, sometimes you'll get stuck in geometry, you know, you're climbing stuff and things maybe not necessarily have space. Like, I've been stuck in walls or in between spaces in other games. I've had that. I think I had that in Valhalla, especially in there. In this game that is so big and so vast and so expansive in terms of the world, I've had no bugs at all. No visual stuff, no issues with saves, no issues with the way that the kind of characters move. You know, AI is a little bit wonky here and there from time to time, but I think that's a thing that I have an expectation for big games like this. But outside of that, this game has run super, super well on both. Like, my PC is really, really good. I have a really beefy PC. So I was worried that maybe it may not necessarily translate to the PS5 Pro, which does have PS5 Pro enhancements to it, and that game runs really, really well on that too, because I'm playing that on I was playing on the balanced mode for a bit, because I was like, I want to see how pretty this game is going to look. So you get the 40 frames per second, and you get the more ray tracing on it. But I actually switched the other night to quality, which is the highest res, a little bit lower on the frames per second. I probably dropped you down specifically to 30. And I have no issues with it. It still feels really, really good. So, yeah, the team optimized this really, really well across the board so far.
So, what you know, in the beginning, when we heard about this game, there was like a lot of controversy and all this stupid nonsense that we see online. How do you feel about like the story overall? Like, now that you finally got to get like some hands on and now learning more about Naoe and Yasuke, while you're playing this game, like, did it change your mind overall about anything, about that type of conversation that we've been seeing online? To me, it's always been the story has been very, very interesting to me. I think the voice acting has been really, really good too for both characters and other characters too that you get to meet in the game. But I think that the team did a phenomenal job with this, man, with this Assassin's Creed. Like, you could tell they really took their time, because usually when we play a game, this is either buggy or there's something that we get to see in those type of games, you know?
I think the controversies that we saw, the thing that winds up happening most often is you have a really vocal minority of folks who have no access to the game. They haven't played it. They haven't been in previews. They haven't been in any of the stuff where you would be able to vet the things that they're saying and be able to say, oh, if I have this gripe with a thing that I've seen, I'm now playing it and can confirm that any of those things are in there. That was already discredited in the first initial meetings of Yasuke in the game for me. So like all of the potential, you know, suppose I'm air quoting for folks who are listening in audio form, controversies that we saw, none of those things had any value and none of those things had any merit to begin with. And now playing it even more so shows that all of those people don't know what they're talking about, which was great, right? Because, you know, I think what I was really excited about as seeing this, you know, historic black character, or, you know, again, Ubisoft games, they build this historic fiction that they literally put on the beginning of the game and tell you it's this historic fiction that they are building around these characters. Really was an intriguing one, because Yasuke is a character that we've seen in multiple games. We've seen that character in multiple pieces of media. And as a person who, you know, has been taught throughout the history of, you know, black folks in the world, that we are only really confined to ideas around slavery and what happened here in America, and, you know, what was the things that brought us to Africa and moved us from Africa to other parts of the world. You're always looking for other cultural touchstones that really talk to our experiences in history, because history always gets kind of stripped away from us. So It was dope to be able to see Anawe come into this character and be fully fleshed out, have motivations that you care about, and have those stories intertwine with Yasuke's. Because in the beginning, this is not a spoiler, but I think this is an important thing to talk about, is like, initially, those characters aren't friends. Which is interesting, right? Yeah. They are literally on the opposite sides of a fight. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to see not only the way that they represented how they joined forces, but in a story like this, Yasuke is a slave. Like, he's a part of, you know, the exchange of human property that winds up getting pulled into the Nobunaga lineage and dynasty. Uh-huh. In that part, even when you think about it and think about and understand like what power that gives to that character, that is super dope to be able to do that. So like, for me, again, I think the beauty of where this game lands is we're talking about a character and we're talking about a moment in time where we as people of color are not necessarily given a space to exist. And when you wind up seeing them be given a space of being able to thrive, and not only being able to thrive, but being given a position of power in those spaces, that story is really dope to be able to see across the board. So like, they're doing a fantastic job of building out this story and showing his motivations and giving him the ability to have deference to all the people who he needs to as a samurai. But also like the way the game also reacts to him is really interesting. NPCs react to him and show him deference. NPCs react to him and show, you know, fear of him because they know that he is coming for a mission. Like, all those parts are really, really dope. So I really like what they're doing with this character.
And they play totally different. And I'm so curious to know, like, how is like your gameplay style? Like, for me, I love playing Nawe, right? Like, if I'm going to go to an area and hide and attack enemies, you know, from behind out of nowhere, love getting her, right? But if I'm just going in gun blazing and I'm like, look, I'm just going to start attacking people, I know people are going to get killed with Yasuke right away. I use him. So it depends on the mood, you know, like right now, I'm like 30 plus hours in. And I've been using more him towards the end so far because he's so strong, so strong. But there's some cases where, man, I want to climb up. He is not that good at doing that. He's good at, you know, destroying doors, attacking enemies. Like for example, when you have Nawe and you're like, let's say, hiding in the bushes and you whistle and then the enemies come, just being curious. If you play Nawe, it will say, not brutal assassination. It will say assassination with her.
Yeah.
But with him, it will say brutal assassination. Like, yo, he'll get his sword, put it that all the way in and lift him up. Like, I was like, bro, that is crazy. That is crazy with him. So what is your style, like your gameplay style in this game? Because it's two different vibes in this one, man.
I love the fact you talked about traversal, because I think traversal for me is the differentiator in who I pick for certain parts of what I'm trying to do. So like, if I'm trying to open up the map, which you have the classic kind of synchronization points when you get to a really high marker on the map. And everybody, you know, if you're familiar with the Assassin's Creed lineage of games, there are these symbols on the map where you can get on a perch or get on a really high building. You get to that point, and then it opens up some of the surrounding areas on the map. So I use Nahue for those missions usually. Or if it's a mission where I need to be as quiet and as stealthy, when I know there's going to be a ton of enemies in the space, those are the times I usually use Nahue, because she's more nimble. She's there to assassinate people in the kind of quietest ways possible. If I have to go into a castle, for the most part, I'll usually use her, because they have these, I forgot what they call them, but they have these specific floors inside the buildings that have springs on them. And when you walk on them, they make more noise. So Yasuke is a big dude. He's going to make more noise if he's not crouching down and walking really slow, while Nahue just doesn't make as much noise. The other differentiator I have for when I pick Yasuke is there are these very specific enemies that if you clear them out, you can go into their area, and there's one chest that's there that has really good loot in it. And those characters are a lot harder to kill. They have much more health. They have kind of more shields on them and stuff. And those characters are just harder to fight. And Nahue is really good, quick and nimble, but she's a glass cannon. She's like, if you get hit a couple of times, you're probably going to be close to dead. Well, Yasuke is much tougher to kill. Uh-huh. So I will usually, when I need to go get loot and do stuff like that, I'll pick Yasuke to go pick those things too. Or if I just want to see him fall off a really tall building and look stupid when he falls off the buildings, as opposed to Nahue.
He's a clumsy. Like he falls terrible. And the thing is too, like even the enemies, like they will look like, what is that? Like you won't know, right? Because it's so loud when he jumps down.
It's so good.
Yeah, but another thing too, that happened to me, and I don't know if you experienced this yet, right? So let's say you go to a base and there's enemies, and they hit the alarm sound.
Oh yeah,
now you're wanted.
Yes,
right. And here's the thing: you could escape, but you're wanted everywhere. Like they're looking for you everywhere. And the only thing that you could do, so it could be less chaotic, either switch to a different character that is not wanted, or wait until the new season comes on. And when it changes, it kind of like reset, and it will helps to unlock new quests, new locations, new things in the game, which is very, very interesting seeing that, because that wasn't available before in previous Assassin's Creed games.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that. Not only the unwanted part, but more of the season changes like that. To me, it's a game changer for Assassin's Creed series, because it's not only unlocking new areas, new missions, new stuff, but also the environment, the people, the way how you're going to be going to certain areas. It might be raining, it might be snowing. Like everything just changes because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, how was your experience seeing that, or the wanted part of the game?
I had my first wanted moment probably a day ago. I kind of bum rushed through with Yasuke, and you know, they have these towers with these bells on it, and a character like in some other games like Far Cry used to do this a lot, where you'd have a character kind of run up and like sound the alarm for everybody else to come through. And then you get these really hard characters that come in after you got to wanted level, where you have these like guardians who are in these spaces that are even tougher than the other characters I was previously talking about. And I thought it was going to be like one or two. It's like five or six that roll up on you.
It's a bunch
of dudes that roll up on you, like, and those cats is tough. Uh-huh. So that was an interesting change of pace to be able to do that. I did not like that at all when it happened. I was like, yo, I don't know what to do. But I adore the season changes stuff. Like, and I'm sure we're probably going to talk about this at some point, but like just the visuals of this game and the world that they've built with feudal Japan. I know a lot of people have been excited about going to this setting. I don't think they're ready to understand how beautiful Ubisoft has made this world. Uh-huh. And the seasons ramp that up in a visual way that I didn't expect. Like, there was a moment when I was going to a castle to go do a quest. And, you know, they talk about it in small bits and pieces throughout the game and in kind of the tutorial stuff that pops up. But like, I was in one part of the world and it was rainy, and the rain kind of muffled the sound of me walking through some spaces where enemies would usually be able to hear me. And I actually had a different way of kind of playing at night. Characters don't see you as well, which is great to be able to do that. So like their cones of vision are a little bit slower to detect you. But one of the coolest things I saw was when I got to Winter and I went to that castle, and it had a really small amount of, had like a small moat around it, like a small lake around it. And that water was frozen in the winter parts of the map. So I'd run thinking, oh, well, this is like any other game where it just is, oh, they just put ice here and that's whatever. But like you actually run and slip when you, like they have a slipping animation when you run and do that stuff. And when you're running through snow, the snow is chunky and it slows you down so that your normal, when you run really fast, is much faster because you're running on land. But when you run through snow, it's much slower. To kind of indicate that you're actually running through actual snow. It's so good. It's so good.
It's really, really good. And you know what it just reminded me of too? I was playing with Yasuke and I was on top of the house, like some house in some town, I think it was. And I noticed it was like a rope. I'm like, oh, easy. I could just walk through this rope and go to the house.
Yeah.
With Yasuke, it will break and he will fall.
Yeah.
He's so, so heavy. But here's the thing, like he's slow. But when he hits the enemy, bro, the damage on that one alone. See, Naoi, I really like her a lot. Mm-hmm. She's very, very fast. Yes, it takes some time to like get some big damage from against an enemy or a boss or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
But bro, she is very, very fast when it comes to like running, easy to escape. Even with the horse, is a lot better with her too, because the horse, it runs a little bit faster than compared to Yasuke.
Yep.
I really enjoyed doing that, man, a lot with Naoi.
I think the thing I appreciate about her is the way they've animated her is like, and I'm still finding new weapons. I think you have like maybe like five or six weapons between each of the different characters. So like, I've been using a very small, short sword called a Tanto to use with Naoi. And she's smooth with it. Like, she's dope. She'll walk up on somebody and be like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he just died. Or she rolls up on somebody, runs up like, back, and then just roll through. I'm sorry, I'm using bad sound effects. If you're listening to the audio, you're like, what the hell did he just do? So I'm like swiping across the screen.
Yeah.
But like, these really, like, the way that they use her to showcase her ability to be nimble and quick is such a really nice change between the two. So it does feel really, really different when you get into some of those fights. And I think that just really pulls together just like how good the animations have been and how the ways that they are thinking about the combat really comes across in a smart way.
Okay, here's an honest opinion. When you're playing Yasuke and that music pops up when you're fighting enemies.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? Like for me, I don't have an issue with it. I'm like, oh, that sounds dope. But I know there's going to be people saying, wait a minute, hold on. Like, so what you think,
Matt? You got to describe the music, though, a little bit.
Okay, it's very martial arts, but with like a hip-hop sound.
Yeah. It sounds like if you were to, and I don't want people to be like over upset about this, because I feel like there are going to be the people who are like, who they just tried to, because he's black.
Why
are you trying to make this like extra black because he just did this thing? I think it fits in the way that the world works. And to be fair, I think it only happened early on when you are first kind of introduced to him. I don't think I've heard it again. And tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I've heard it again during just normal gameplay. I think I only heard it in that one section when you first see him for the first time. Either way, I love the fact that they are going for it in that way. Like, yes, does it feel stereotypical? A little bit, if I'm being completely honest.
Uh-huh.
But it's not in the same way that, you know, I think people who think of the way you mash up genre and the way you mash up culture would think that this is like an offending thing to either one, right? It is cool to see them kind of play on that. And it doesn't sound corny. That's the thing. Like, if it doesn't sound corny
at all.
No. If it sounded corny, then it would be even worse. It would be like really bad. It would be like actually terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But when I listened to it, I was like, yo, this is dope. Like, this is a cool way to kind of mash up these kind of genres and cultures in a way that feels dope. Like I actually kind of want a little more of it when I'm going into like a big fight. That would be cool, right? Because Nawe has it, I think, as well in some in their own.
I can't remember, but I know there is that type of music pops up when it's like a big boss battle. Mm. Like it's not just a regular character, you know. But it pops up a lot. Once you get to see the higher boss battles and everything. So yeah. But yeah, Nawe, does it pop up with her? I don't remember.
She has a very traditional Japanese music sounding soundtrack for her fights. I think it's very traditional in her
so,
way.
So so it depends on you. Okay, who you play? Okay,
right. There's no 808s in her version of it.
808s. 808s. Yeah, man. I really enjoyed Assassin's Creed. Like, yo, I have 30 plus hours. I'm playing this nonstop. Just having a good time overall, man. Like I don't know what else to say. Like, it's gonna be. I know people are gonna say, "Oh, it's just an Assassin's Creed game," but I think there's some good stuff in here that is different than the previous Assassin's Creed games. So yeah. I'm okay with it. The seasons is top notch. Just love the characters here that where you switch and two different gameplay styles between the two. You know, one is slower but stronger. The other one is very faster. Mm-hmm. You know, so it all depends. I really enjoy the story. Voice acting is top notch. I think Ubisoft did a pretty good job. And the best of all, bro, barely any bugs, which is hard to do. That's why when we heard that the game got delayed, hey, let them cook. Yeah, that's what I say. Yeah. Let them cook as much as they can to make the game more polished and good, man. So, you know, it's been a very long time. To see Ubisoft making a game like this, like really, really good. It's been a while. So I think I highly recommend for people to check this out once it releases, in my opinion.
Yeah. And there's a couple more systems I think we should talk about really fast because I think missed some of those things. So like,
sure.
I like the scouting system in this game.
Yes.
A lot. The scouting. So for folks who don't know, you get these scouts in the game that basically when you are doing a mission, they will give you hints about where the characters that you're looking for to assassinate are on the map. So it winds up kind of being this much, much broader kind of scope of like the overall map. And then you zoom in a little bit more and you can see like the cities in those towns. And then you zoom in a little bit more, you can see even more of the kind of like macro and micro parts of the space. But you get these scouts, and the scouts, when you basically hover a part of the map, you can search there for clues, and usually it'll kind of give you, you know, where the person that you have to try to go assassinate is. How'd you like the scouts?
I loved it because I was trying to do it on my own. Like, I don't need that. I could do it on my own. And later in the game, it gets really, really hard. And another thing too, the way how I discover other enemies, that not the main quest, but more on the side quest. I will zoom in using left trigger.
Yep.
It helps you to like zoom in an area, and you will see like these dots. Like you will see gold, white. If you see blue, I'll be like, wait a minute, hold on. This is not the main story. What is this? So I go to check to see what it is. And it's just more of like side quest enemies that I have to attack. So I was doing that a lot, but there's a time in the game where you need to use scout. Mm-hmm. You need to, if not, you'll be there forever trying to figure out like where the next area you need to go. Another thing too, like I will tell you something, you use a scout and you go to that area. Now the whole area is blue. So the person that you need to talk to is somewhere around there. So you also have to look around. And I was using that a lot, you know. Now with scout, you could use one dot, two dot, or three dot. The only difference is, when you go all the way to three, the scout will look at the area, but now it's like a bigger, wider area compared to just using one dot. You know, now if you know where it is exactly, you could use that one dot, and you'll find whatever it is that for the next mission, right? But the scout is not free all the time. Sometimes you'll get it free later in the game, whatever. But if you have money with the currency that you have in the game, you could go to an area, which you also could use it as like a fast travel, and you go to this room, and there you have like storage. You could also change your allies in there too, or just use the Scout. You could also buy that. I think it's like only like $200 or something like that for Scout. Mm-hmm. But I would use that all the time. All the time. Especially if I want to do fast travel, I will do that.
I buy those things all the time when I'm on the map because I was like, because sometimes you just don't have a space to go back and you're like, oh man, that's a really, like, points in the map are not close. Like, when you look at the way, like, a city from one end of the map to the, like, where you start in other parts of the map, like, from end to end, it's a really big map in terms of how far it is to get from one thing to another. And it's, like, big. There's a big river there. So, like, you can go on a boat and go, you know, flow on a boat. I love the Scout stuff. What did you think about the homestead things, too? So, like, you're building this base inside the world, too. What were your thoughts about that?
Yeah, in the beginning, I didn't have a lot of items to upgrade. But later in the game, I totally forgot I was collecting that.
Yeah.
Collecting. So, I went back, actually, yesterday. I'm like, wait a minute. I have so much stuff. I could upgrade and add more stuff in there. Bro, it's good because you could go in there and practice, get some better weapons and all that stuff in there too. Yeah, I was doing that a lot. There was like a whole time, like I was just collecting items that I could use to upgrade my house, and I wasn't doing that at all until recently. But did you manage to get like a lot of things in there?
I have the main buildings in my little homestead.
Yeah, I have the main one too.
What I keep finding now in the world are ways to decorate all those buildings and decorate the space around it. So in a weird way, I think once I finish the main campaign, I'm going to probably like demolish all that stuff and rebuild it and like move things around to make it look pretty. Because you get a lot of stuff like they're like, oh, you can plant these trees here. You can make this kind of path with the dirt and all this other kind of stuff. So I want to make it look kind of really dope, but I didn't have time to... I'm not trying to do it now. I'm just kind of using it for its purposes, and then we'll make it look pretty when I play it again.
Well, I think I have like four houses in there, and all of them are level 3.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I just haven't really done much.
A lot of stuff.
I didn't decorate anything. I just upgraded. That's all the thing I did.
Yeah.
I had so much stuff that I was collecting throughout all my missions and everything. I'm like, oh, let me just do that. And
yeah.
I just got curious in there, you know. So
that's dope.
Yeah, yeah. But now I got into the point in the game where there's going to be some enemies that they're probably going to be walking around. It's not in the city. This is just a regular area, just walking around. And they see you, they're going to go out and attack you. So just be on the lookout for that. Yeah.
Did you mess with any of the animus stuff?
Is that the one where you have to use like D-pad, B? Like,
So there are, and this is not spoilers again.
It's not spoilers.
But this is like they have these glyphs in the world. Because again, like, and you'll see it when you begin the game of like how the animus is incorporated into the game, which I love. And I think that's the thing that I've been wanting Assassin's Creed to go back to is like do more stuff with the animus and like do that thing where you're like, you're not, you know, all of these things are kind of fake because you're supposed to be in this fake world. That's the Matrix basically. Uh-huh. But there are missions in there where you get this currency that works towards what is supposed to be almost like a Battle Pass-esque thing.
I haven't used it. I haven't tried it out. Now you gotta tell me how it is. So
it's
go ahead.
Cool because there are enemies that are specific that you can fight that give you some of that currency. And then when you go into the Battle Pass thing, it's all cosmetic from what I can tell, but there are like different kind of more animus looking futuristic kind of gear that you can have. Uh-huh. So I'm doing a little bit of those to see what that gear looks like in the world because the gear I think looks really good across Yasuke and Naoe, especially when you start to get some very special gear that is attuned to the story. Mm-hmm. But I think the going in and doing that stuff is a nice kind of side quest to be able to get some other goodies that maybe other people might not have. So when you're playing it and you want to share those pictures out or those videos out, you're like, yo, where the hell did you get that gear for that thing? And you're like, oh, you got to do these kinds of missions to get that stuff. So it's pretty dope.
And it changes. I notice every time I log in, maybe like a day or so, I notice those area changes. I go, it will go to like different areas. And I never tried it because I just didn't know what it was. So I was like, all right, let me just focus on my, you know, main campaign.
They need to explain that stuff better to players, though. I don't think they did that part well. If there was any gripes that I have about the game right now, it's like that part they didn't do necessarily well. Mm-hmm. And it feels not tacked on, but it feels like, I think for the people who are the most like Ubisoft will gouge you for money or time or stuff, That's the only space that I think people would be like, oh, this is where you can see the DLC, or this is where you can see the microtransactions coming into this game and that stuff. But it's never been something that the game is forcing you to do. And it doesn't seem intrusive at all in terms of the way that it winds up being played in the game.
Yeah, you're right, because I haven't even tried it out.
Right.
Yeah. Now, is it difficult? Or is it, like, easy?
It was pretty easy, because you kind of, like, go, like, there's two or three different versions of it. One is, like, kill a dude. The other one is, like, capture, you know, these resources. There's some puzzle element ones where you're basically doing, like, puzzle pathing. So there'll be, like, this yellow path that you see, and you can, like, when you get to the end of it, there's a chest. Which I actually really like a lot, because those, like, really get to showcase Nawe in a really good way. I wouldn't want to do those with Yasuke, because from what we talked about, the way he traverses the space. But they're not hard. They're pretty easy. It's kind of a fun thing to do. You get a little bit of currency and you get some other stuff in the thing. I like them. I want to do more of them to see if it opens up something in the story that I didn't foresee. So that's the reason why I'm kind of going for those, to see if that if there's some connection there.
Man, I wish I could show you my page of, like, you know where it says, objectives? And then bro, my thing is, like, full, almost all blood. Like, all, like, red. There's a couple that is not, they're not dead, but they're not, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but it's, you'll see.
I'm almost at the end. I think I have, like, maybe three or four people left on my main assassination list.
Okay.
And I think I'm trying to get to them, but I'm also seeing stuff. Like, there's a couple of weapons that Yasuke has in his arsenal that I haven't used yet or I haven't gotten yet.
Oh, okay.
Because I just haven't found enemies that were using it, or I haven't found a chest that had them yet. So I'm trying to get to enemies or kill people who may have them so I can start to use them to see what they feel like. But besides that, yeah, like, the assassination stuff is really smart in the way you can kill stuff. It almost sometimes feels like Hitman, where you're like, oh, if I get this person to go over here and then they walk over in this place, there's a thing over here I can do to get them there and kill them. Like, some of those things are really fun. And I like that. I like that as a big fan of Hitman in some ways too.
Now, Kai, anything else before we wrap it up?
This is the first Assassin's Creed game that I've had and played in a while where I'm really invested not only in the story, but invested in the world itself. Like, the systems that they've put in this game feel really smartly tied together so that it doesn't feel like a grind, and it doesn't feel like, oh, well, these characters are kind of the same versions of Assassin's Creed characters that we've already seen, even though the setting is different and the time frame is different and all that stuff. It feels like they took some time to build out this world in a really smart way. And I'm really just having fun with it, like, not worrying about, like, you know how it is when we do reviews, like, you have a time schedule, you have an embargo to hit, all that kind of stuff. And usually you're trying to, like, fast track it to get to the end of it so you can be able to do the content. I've been playing this really slow in the way that I usually don't, which is cool. So I'm having a blast with it, and I'm like dying to play more, to finish it and then play more after it's done.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I remember I was having a conversation with Paris, because, you know, we've been, you know, busy with all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to have time to play this. Like, I'll play as much as I can, but I'm not going to complete it, you know?
Yeah.
I started playing it and I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
Hooked.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm like, okay, 10 hours. Sorry. 20 hours. Oh my God. 30 hours. What's going on here? And, like, I'm still, like, I want to continue. I want to see what's going to happen next with the characters and the story. Like, the game got me hooked. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, it is rare for me to say, like, because I like to play games as shorter due to, you know, different reasons, because, you know, I'm just busy and all that. But yeah, man, I've been having a good time with this game, man. I've been having a great, great time. Like, I know people are going to be like, you guys are just giving a good review, going to give you a copy. Like, bro, let me tell you, man, it's not because of that. I've been having a blast.
Mm-hmm.
If we're faking it, look at the hours, the amount of hours that we're playing it. Do you think I'm going to spend 30 plus hours on something that I don't like?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Like, I'll play it, then move on. But, like, I'm not going to do that for a game that's that I'm playing it for over 30 hours, man.
I can't front. I stopped playing another game for review to play this. Like,
oh, there you go.
And that's the thing that's hard, because, like, you want to, you know, you want to finish the things in, but that game was, like, not doing it for me. And as soon as I jumped into this, it like I've been playing it every night, not even just to be able to get it done for review, but like I'm invested. Like it's a really good game. Anytime I see a new outfit that looks dope, I'm like, yo, like, that gear looks dope.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, there must be another version of this, or oh, there must be a cool another thing that's over here. Like those are, that's not faking it. So yeah, I'm excited for this. And I think, you know, Ubisoft has a banger on their hit.
Oh, they have a banger. I hope the game sells, man. I hope so. Cause I think this is a really good game, and it's been a long time to see like an actual good game from Ubisoft. There's some that's been like mixed, you know, the past couple of years. There was a time where, you know, they were just releasing bangers left and right, you know, it's been a while. I think that this is it. This is a pretty good game for people to check out, man.
Yep. I agree. This is the best Assassin's Creed game I played in a long time.
Awesome. 100%. Now, Ka.
Yeah.
Promote your stuff. Let people know how they can find you, and also any future content that you could talk about that's going to be coming soon on Spot on Me.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me. Always dope to be able to hang out with you and chop it up about games and all the other goodness. Spot on Me is dropping new episodes every week. We do our show usually on Thursday evenings around 6:30 p.m. PST. Just catch the live show. And then the VODs go up on YouTube, go up on Apple Podcasts and Spotify for the video versions of those, usually that following Monday. Stay tuned. We have some very cool, interesting new things to talk about that I'll be working on, doing some collaborative work very, very soon.
Ooh, snap.
Some dope stuff there. We're doing some fun things around the new RTX work that happened with NVIDIA. So they were doing some stuff with them with their Half-Life 2 stuff that just got talked about this week. So a lot of really interesting things in there. And I got a couple projects that I'm working on that might get released.
Always working. Always working. And also, Kai's coming back very soon on some stuff that we recorded.
Yeah.
We can't talk about
it. Yeah, I know.
You'll see. You'll see very soon.
We've been busy, fam. We've been busy.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yo, Kai, thank you so much. Everybody, make sure to go and subscribe. Spot on Me. All podcast platforms out there, just make sure to look up Spot on Me, or go to Twitch or YouTube, right? You'll be there and subscribe.
Part-time podcasters, that's what we do.
Podcast, yeah. Part-time podcasters. All right, well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Gamer Tag Radio. Until next time, we're out. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.